has been truly a busy week, and I'm so glad that they came, and then I am so glad that they left. Because so much got done, and there's always work to be done afterwards, and they left some things that we need to finish up, but it is good. Some of the things that they've worked on was this building here and the balcony area there, cleaning that up a lot. I want to think that they went through like 25 or 30 tubes of just caulking in here. Also, they worked on the old building across the street, just getting a lot of junk out of there still. And then there was a crew that worked over there in the men's life house upstairs, the side where Jeremy's at, putting in some flooring in a kitchen sink instead of the old metal sink. Sink that only had hot water, no cold water. And then also some landscaping around all the houses and some things of that sort. So if you haven't, just kind of walk around and making things look really good there. And then the big patio, which we didn't think it was going to be that big, but it is huge. But that's not what we had planned, but it is there. It is nice, and now we got to put sand in the crack. So that's going to take 3 or 4 days, a week. But anyway, it's been good, and that group had a lot of people, 31, and eventually it ended up being 41. So a couple people couldn't make it on their way here, so we ended up with 71 people total, and it was a good week. Their pastor was supposed to speak on Wednesday, but that didn't happen. He got sick, and his blood pressure dropped pretty low enough to where he went to the hospital. And he was able to get back out, but every time he tried to do some stuff, it would just bottom out. So, but anyway, they all put their full effort in, and I'm just excited. I was excited. I think even me and Phil would agree that this is probably what, we're used to 5 to 7 mission teams a year. I still like doing that because we get a lot accomplished, but there's just something about this group, these two groups, that was just really good this year. And, even with the group from Georgia earlier this year has just been really good with mission teams, and people's hearts are in spirit, in the right spirit, and we just was able to accomplish a lot of things. Which brings me to the place that we are. We are talking about missions today. So we start kind of a mission week here. We'll be hopefully putting something out on Facebook that'll just give you some people to pray for that are in the mission field. And so we'll talk about missions today, and we'll finish up with missions next Sunday. And I'm hoping to get Pastor Joseph on the screen this time on next Sunday. And we'll talk more about some of that stuff next Sunday. So I'm looking forward to that. But we're going to be in a few places today. I want to go to Matthew here, what Jesus said, you know, the great commission here is Jesus has got this last piece he wants to share with everyone. And so Matthew chapter 28, and as you're turning to Matthew chapter 28, I want to challenge you. I'm not going to advertise it when we do it, but on Wednesday nights we'd always say we had prayer service, but truthfully we've never really had prayer service like we've had. We've had prayer service twice, one last month, and we had one this last Wednesday, and believe me, it's probably a prayer service like you've never been to, and some of you may have, but it is really a good piece for our church as well, and it is we'll be doing it also. We've already done our one for July, so we'll be heading one up, preparing one for August. So I'm hoping that you can make that as well. It is really it's really a good piece. But Jesus comes to this place, and he says, He's getting ready to ascend into heaven, and he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that was just happened. And teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Fathers, we break into your word, and we continue to, in our worship service, we ask your spirit to be with us and to be upon us, that we might have ears to hear and eyes to see what you'd have for us today, that we may walk out different than we came in, more powerful, filled by your spirit, and more knowledge of your word, and Lord, just more of a hunger to serve you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we see here that there's a lot in there, but I just want to share with you that Jesus is challenging and giving the command to go out there and share the gospel and make disciples. And so that is one piece. I also want to go over to the book of Acts for a minute. I'm going to read real quick Acts chapter 1. Jesus also says here, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." This is before the Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit come upon them, but that was going to happen here soon. And he says, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The Lord Jesus is talking about get out there and share the gospel. Get out there in the fields and share the gospel. The gospel is the hope of the world. It is the way for people to come and get into a relationship with the Father. And they do that through the receiving of Jesus Christ by people hearing the gospel. And so the mission field is there. And Jesus is saying in Matthew, get out there in the world and share the gospel. In Acts, he says all these areas he mentions, Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, and to all the ends of the world. He wants the gospel to be shared all over the world. And then what happens? We get into a place where it becomes actually something that becomes practical. That's where it starts to become. Now, this is where I want to camp out in Acts chapter 16 with Paul. Paul is getting ready. Paul is heading out doing, and he's got a desire. Some of you have had a desire to do something for the Lord. Amen? Some of you had a desire to go out and want to do some things for the Lord, whether it be here or somewhere. And I think we learned some lessons here. Paul's going to evangelize in Europe, and he's got some desires. So here we are in chapter 16. This is where we're going to camp today. Chapter 16 of the book of Acts, verse 6. "They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia." Here it is. Paul wants to go to Asia, and the Holy Spirit said, "I don't think so." And that's when we want to quit, because we don't see God moving in his no, and we want to do something. Now, here it is. Paul had a desire. Paul had a desire to go to Asia to speak the word of the gospel. Now, is that a good thing? Yeah, that's a good thing, isn't it? That is a great thing to do. Yes, but sometimes God says it is a great thing for you to do that. It is a great place to go, but it's not going to happen for you. What? But here it is. Some people just want to peel off, and they want to go, and they just get discouraged, and they just want to stop, and they want to be done. They want to do what they want to do. If you know, here it is. There was a pastor, and my dad knew this pastor. This pastor was a Hawaiian, and we have somebody going to Hawaii soon too. But he was a Hawaiian guy. And my dad was singing, and they were out there, and my dad just shared the story, and I just never forgot it. He says, "Never tell the Lord where you're going." The Hawaiian pastor told my father, he says, "I told God," so he told my father, "never tell God what you're going to do." He said, "I told the Lord, I'll take your thing, I'll preach, but I'm never going to any place cold." Well, God has a sense of humor and put him in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And if anybody knows anything about that, you would just see the Jones, and the Joneses would tell you what that's like. And he says, "I just couldn't stand the idea that God would send me to the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, where I'm used to summer all the time. What you consider summer, it's Hawaii all the time." And so my parents were singing way up there in Michigan. And he says, "You know what, though? I come to love the people of Michigan. But I could never do that really without the Lord. And the Lord blessed me. I got to see another part of the world. I got to see something else there." But here we find out that Paul says, "I want to go to Asia." And the Holy Spirit just forbade him to go. "You're not going." Let me tell you something. If you try to open a door that God shuts, you're not going to get it open. You can beat on it. You can knock on it. You can try to force it open. It's not going to open. God is a key holder. Jesus is a key holder. He locks doors and he shuts doors and he opens doors. He opens doors that no one can open and he shuts doors no one can close. And he says, Paul, you're not going to Asia today. Now, sometimes God will say, no. It's the right idea. It's the right thought. Your heart's in the right place. You're not going today. It could be the right thing, but the wrong timing. So what do? When you're playing some baseball, you take your swing and you go, there's strike one, foul ball. What do? You get back in the batter box and you swing again. What do we see? When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bethania, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow him. Uh-oh, strike two. Now you're in ministry, you're used to it, now you're thinking that God's forgot about you. He's done using you. He's not going to use you anymore. I'm trying to go here now, and God's not... Listen, when God keeps saying no, what is he doing? He's squeezing you into a certain road that you don't know about, and he's getting you there. But we have these ideas. Believe me, if there's anybody that has ideas, I have ideas on top of ideas, and my mind is just crazy like a circus. And I have to do this, and the Lord has to do this sometimes. Sometimes he has to put... He has to shut down the circus sometimes. And Paul was told no again. Now here's the thing, Paul. Here's the thing: when you're walking with the Lord and you're walking with the Lord and you're growing and you're becoming, as Jesus said, making disciples. That means and baptizing them. People are coming into the gospel. People are learning. They become baptized, and you start getting into the Word. You decipher the Word. You start to experience the power of the Scripture. You wrestle through some Scripture. You're trying to figure it out. You're letting the Lord lead, not letting your mind lead. Don't let your mind lead in the discerning of the Word. Let the Holy Spirit discern it. Teach you. You got to learn to be a listener of the Holy Spirit. I believe Paul knew that the Lord wasn't allowing him to do that. So what do? You keep going. You don't quit. You don't stop. But here he goes. It's the second one, strike two. Now, so many people would have quit on strike one, and others would just be done at strike two. Let me just remind you that just because somebody's in a ministry that doesn't seem like it did well, doesn't make them bad at ministry. Now, if you're into sales and you can't sell a can, a pop, or you can't sell something, you might be a bad salesman. If you can't fix a car and you went to school and you can't fix and put a muffler on a car, you might not be the best mechanic. But we aren't living in the way the world does with this stuff. What doesn't look successful to the world is successful to the Lord. Listen, if the Lord said no, he wasn't trying to pry the door open. Obeying the Lord is success. Even if it's just stop and be still. Listen, don't move forward. God doesn't have to give you the whole plan. Sometimes he just leaves out pieces. And then he goes into the second one, strike two. You know what? It's a time of testing of your faith. It's a time of listening to the Holy Spirit. This is a time where you go into, sometimes when you're not sure of something, you go into a time of fasting. What that is you're drawing to the Lord. Okay? All right? Then he goes down to verse 8. Passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. All of a sudden, during the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, cross over to Macedonia and help us. So here we see there's a part now that the Lord does make a visit. Now, I don't want to get caught up in all dreams and visions today, but I want to tell you this. You that know, you know. Oh, man, look at. When you are walking with the Lord and your spirit is with the Lord's spirit, you're not perfect, but you're doing what God wants you to do. You're in tune with the Spirit. Listen, you will know when you will know if a vision or a dream is of the Lord or not. I've had actually a person who's a believer came up and said, listen, the Lord gave me a dream. I need me to leave my spouse and go with this other woman. Let me tell you, that is a false lie. The Lord don't give you visions and dreams like that. It will not contradict God's word. His visions and dreams will not contradict His own word. But we want to make what we want, and that's what that person who told me that was sin being all up in the factuation and doing what they. And I've heard that more than once from individuals. Listen, God will not lead you out of your relationship, of a marriage relationship, to go into someone. No, that's ungodly. No. But God does speak through visions and dreams at times. And you will know if it is a vision or it's a dream. I believe that you will know. And if you don't and you're unsure, you need to find somebody that is walking with the Lord. You need to tell them and share with them what's going on. We can't be confused at times. We can't be confused. And we need to get the right. We need to spend some time with the Lord, and we need to spend some time with someone that is walking right with the Lord, that knows a little more scripture, that has a little more experience in that area. And we need to seek that. And we can pray that God put somebody in front of me that can help me discern this, because I'm struggling discerning this. I'm not understanding. I don't know if this was or this is not. Sometimes the Lord is not going to tell you. Is that okay? You have to be okay with that. Because sometimes there's more going on than what you know and what you can see. And sometimes it's just it's a page one to a book of 10 pages. And He'll show you page 4, 5, and 9, but you don't get 10 for 30 years. It's just the way it is. Some things are just a mystery to God, and that's His business. But here we find out that God does give, He gives Paul a vision that night, and it's of a Macedonian. Man, how did he know it was a Macedonian man? Because the Holy Spirit reveals that. You can look at a person. How would you know that person was an American or a German or England? You wouldn't know. But the Holy Spirit reveals that. And what it was saying, crossing over, seeing an individual, saying, help us. Now starting getting to the right direction. The Lord has spoken. I'm sure they have prayed about, Lord, where do you want us to go? In the meantime, you keep doing what the Lord has called you to do. They were missionaries going out, starting these churches, preaching the gospel. Started this. They get enough people. They started church and they would leave. And sometimes Paul would come back. And here it is. We see that people that are wanting to share the gospel with the great hearts in other places, but God now is sending them to Macedonia. Listen, if they did not obey the first two, they would not be in this place. And here they are. He has this vision to cross over. See, God sees everything. He knows where the gospel needs to go today. He knows where it needs to go tomorrow. He knows who's lost and who isn't. There's always those things we don't see. Sometimes it's someone praying for people, and there's a timing that God has where He's going to have someone intervene that you don't even know, for someone you've been praying for to receive the gospel, to get their life right, to get the prodigal out of the pig pen. You're praying for that, then God's going to use someone else to help them and guide them, because He just wants to do it His way, and that's okay. And it's okay. So here it is that they are going to do something. Verse 10, after he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts. Here it is. He has a team. He says, we immediately made efforts, what? To set out for Macedonia. Once again, Paul obeying the Holy Spirit, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Here it is. Now God has given him a spot. This is where you're going. Now, we don't have time to jump into it all, because I want to talk about a couple things. But Lydia is there. She's in the distance. She's going to be praying somewhere. If she doesn't know about the Holy Spirit, she doesn't know about all this stuff, she's going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Paul and his team obeyed the vision and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that spoke to him. They're going to go on a mission. Now they're going to adjust. They're going to go on a mission. And they're going to be able to speak to this Lydia. They're just going to have a strong church in that place. It's going to be great. But God is sending Paul and his team there. And then he's going to end up getting arrested. Why be arrested? You know how far God's grace goes? There's a Roman soldier that is in charge of that prison, that at least that shift. And he's going to have a prisoner, a couple of prisoners, going to be Paul and Silas, and they're going to be in prison. God knows what's going to happen. They're going to be in prison, and so what's happening is God's grace is going to reach into a family that is as a Roman soldier, and God's going to reach into that family. And that night, that midnight hour, when they are in stockades, that they break out into worship, that jailer and his family is going to come to Christ, and they're going to be baptized. They are baptized that night. That was not in Paul's plan. Paul's plan was to go to Asia. And there could have been some good work done there too, and there is in the future. But God was looking at a Roman soldier and his family, and God was giving mercy, grace, and salvation. Isn't that something? How far do people have to walk to share the gospel for someone? It is time for them to hear the gospel. It is their moment to hear the gospel and to see what they will choose. Jesus, life, or refuse Jesus with eternal death. But there has to be people that is willing to follow what God wants for them. Paul had one of the greatest ministries ever known. Not afraid to go into places. His list of beatings and shipwrecks and days without food and just times of brokenness and discouragement, maybe even times of maybe nightmares of all the thoughts of those people that he had arrested when he was going by the name Saul. People were put to death. He did it for one reason only, because Jesus told him to. So what we see here is this peace, this great story. It's just the beginning. But I can't help to go back to Acts, and it says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Jerusalem is the Huntington to us. That's our Huntington. Is our Jerusalem. Jerusalem's our, is our is, would be Huntington for us. And all Judea would be Indiana. Samaria would be the United States. And to the ends of the earth is the rest of the globe. So I'm wondering how many here will be. We haven't had anybody sent out to be missionaries yet, but I truly believe that God has one or two here. We just may not know it yet. And they may know it, and they're fighting it. We have this ministry here in Huntington. We have a mission field right here in Huntington. As you know, you've heard me preach and talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. We are not the Good Samaritan. We are the innkeeper. Broken people come here. So we're working it here in Huntington, trying to do the best that we can. And God is still building here and using us in Huntington. But there's also Indiana, and some of those across Indiana are also coming here with the problems, and we try to help them. And there's also people that have come from other states. I mean, Virginia, Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, Detroit, you know, the places they've been here all through. But then we try to figure out how we can work to the ends of the earth, the ends of the world. And we try to do that with Pastor Joseph in Ethiopia, but Tanzania. We do that by our trying to do like our offering in Lottie Moon, which is our Christmas offering, which goes to the other parts of the world. And then Annie Armstrong, we try to do in April, and we're way off this year, which goes through all the mission fields here in America. Right now, they still say that there's so many people that have not heard the gospel. America has no excuse, because if we claim that 20% of the people in America are saved that know Jesus Christ, then we must not be doing a great job sometimes, because we're not sharing the gospel. See, we're all supposed to be missionaries in our own area, in our own block, right out the gate. Listen, stop beating people over the head with scriptures. You beat people over the head with scriptures, you're just trying to show how much you think you know. If you have to beat people over the head with scriptures, then you don't know the scriptures at all. Even though the hardest scriptures are given with compassion and love and forgiveness and kindness. Folks, if we truly say that we love our neighbor, then we ought to be sharing the gospel, inviting them to church, inviting them to hear the gospel. Well, you can say, well, listen, the world has given us all kinds of things. I don't like to be in crowds. I have social anxiety. No, you don't. Just very few people truly have that. It's because we're afraid. We're afraid to share the gospel. We're afraid to be the light in the world. We need to share the gospel. We're getting ready to do that here at the end of the month. On the last Thursday of the month, we're going to be up here at General Slack. We're going to do some music. We're going to give out some food. Big cookout's going to be there. We hope that you all come. But don't come just by yourself. Bring someone. Because we're also going to give out a bunch of giveaways. And we have Love Inc. United Love's going to be there giving out stuff. There's going to be other things. One of the employment agencies are going to be there. So we're all giving stuff out. But the biggest thing we want to give out is not something that's tangible, not food that you just fill yourself up. But what we're going to do is there's going to be a moment when we feel like there's not even a schedule, but we just feel, I always do this, whenever the moment feels like it's the best, praying in it with discernment, there's going to be a moment we're going to share the gospel. Sometimes I believe that people don't come to the Lord when we share the gospel because we just don't believe. Our faith is weak. Our faith is that we just don't think, oh yeah, nobody listens to that anymore. Nobody hears the gospel in a crowd and comes to Christ. Let me tell you, nothing stops the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to move on a person, gives them an opportunity to say yay or nay to the gospel. It doesn't matter if it's an astronaut in a shuttle or whatever, or someone down at the bottom of the ocean, or someone walking around in a big crowd with a bunch. It doesn't matter. But we have to be ready, and we have to be willing to share the gospel. Our baptisms need to be, we need to have more baptisms. Baptisms are a result of sharing the gospel. Result of sharing the gospel. We need to continue to share the gospel in this community. Listen, there's an appearance in this community that there's a lot of believers. But when I start talking to people about what a believer is, it's way off of what a believer is. I'm telling you, we're confused on what a believer is. We're confused on what a Christian is. And so we need to be sure that we know how to share the gospel. And if we like, I can't do that, listen, in the meantime, you pray and you work on that. It's not that hard. But you bring people to church. You bring them to the church so they can hear the gospel. There's something about hearing it in a crowd. Paul strikes out once, but it wasn't really a strikeout. Or strike. He strikes twice. It's not really a strike. It's actually what we look at as being something that is negative isn't negative at all. It's just a test of obedience. And then there's a piece there that when he gets to see, listen, some of you want to see vision. I've heard people say, I want to have a vision of the Lord. I want to have a dream of the Lord. I've actually had a couple of people that says, I want to see a demon. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. We don't see those things many times. We don't see the Lord move many times because our intentions and our heart is not right. Paul had a vision because his heart was right and God wanted to speak to him in a way that he would know it was him. Paul was wanting to move forward and go somewhere. It couldn't happen. Paul wanted to move in another direction, but the Lord didn't let it happen. Folks, as I said, I believe there's one or two people here in this church that God's called to be missionaries. There's a couple of men in our church that God called to preach the word. And they're following obedience to that. Praise the Lord for that. But not everybody is called to be a preacher or a pastor. But some are called to be singers. Some are called to be teachers. Some are called to be other things. But there are still some that are called to be missionaries. New Life has never had a missionary. that went out. Never had. I can't think of one unless I'm wrong. I missed somebody. Somebody's been here since day one or somewhere. We've never had anybody that has been a missionary. And I just can't believe that there couldn't be a missionary that we could support, that we could send off somewhere. I know it's scary, but let me tell you, it is what God, I'm not saying that you do that right now. I'm just saying God, you don't do that unless God's called you to do that. But I think also that we as a church need to maybe get our feet wet a little bit. So I'm going to be processing with the staff and seeing what would it be like if we went on a mission trip? What would it look like if we went off to a mission trip? And maybe we do. Maybe we have two groups if it's large enough. One we do here in the States and one we maybe go to Puerto Rico or something. They need some help over there. Joseph keeps telling me, hey, come over here, come over here. Come over here to Tanzania. We need help. Teach us. I just mentioned that in about 60 seconds. How many of you just sit there and said, oh, man, your heart starts like thumping. It's like, ooh, yeah. And how many of you sit there and said, oh, no. Not me. I'm not doing that. Listen, I'm looking at a place out there, looking at working on a reservation, an Indian reservation. I don't want to go someplace where we're going to play cards at night, all day. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there and do something that doesn't mean anything. I want to do some Jesus work. Why do you think these teams keep coming back? They've already asked, can we come back? Can we come back? Because when they come, they feel like we've done something. We've done something here. But I will tell you, if you don't honor what God's given us here, He's not going to honor you going out there. Amen? Yeah. Why can't we do missions overseas? Why can't we do missions in other places of the country? We do enough here. Do we? I got one life to live. You got one life to live. This church has one life. We don't even know how long this church is going to be here. But it needs to leave a legacy, not in the world, but with the Lord, with the kingdom work. Some of us need to get back into ministry. And if this is your end and we can do this is your end, then you need to get on it. And don't let anything else get unless the Lord puts a no. Sometimes it's a health issue. Sometimes it's something that God just says no for you. Don't take it personal. Means God has something else going on for you. But some of you, it's time for your faith to be tested. Get out there and get something accomplished and be part of a team. That excites me. I don't know about you, but does that excite anybody else, the possibility? And even if you can't go, that you stay here and you pray for that team, you financially give to that team, and you be part of that team. When I go to a church where they've been, and they mission teams come here, the first thing I usually say is I go to that church and I get up in the pulpit, I say, I want to say thank you. I've already said my thank you to the people that came, but I want to say thank you for two people. Those who prayed for this team to come, and number two, those people that gave financially so your team can come. Nobody talks about them, but those people, God put it in their heart for them to go or to give, but they can't go. And you don't know how many times I've had elderly people come up to me and says, thank you. I used to go on mission trips, but physically I cannot do that. But I can give. And thank you for acknowledging those who give financially. So I say you're just as much as a part of the team that came. But without you, they wouldn't be able to go. It takes everybody. Those who stay and pray. Those who stay and give. And those that go and share. We need to be more about missions. We've lacked in missions for a long time because we had missions here. But I think God is wanting to stretch us a little bit and say, I think it's time to grow up a little bit more in this area of missions and become more involved there. Yeah. So I want to share just one last piece here for you this morning, which means it's just the whole thing about obeying the Lord. Obeying the Lord. Obeying the Lord is not doing what you want to do. Obeying the Lord is doing what the Lord has called you to do. Listening to His Holy Spirit, obeying the Word, letting the Lord be boss of your life. When you got saved, you got a new boss. You see, Paul thought he was doing really good when his name was Saul, and he was going around trying to get all these Christians arrested because it was messing up the establishment of the religious group. Well, on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus, the one he was persecuting, and his life changed. And God used him to go out and share the gospel throughout all these areas and turn him into a missionary. And I'm so thankful that Paul was obedient. I'm thankful that so many of you are obedient. And my challenge for you today is, are you obedient? Are you obedient to the Lord of what He has called you to be and do? There are moments in your life where it kind of goes down and you feel like it goes down a little bit and you're not as busy in the ministry. Listen, what you're doing, if God's called you to, it's okay. Sometimes you have to be a mom. You got a mom of three little kids. You got to be a mom. That's a blessing. That's a calling. That's a being obedient, being a good mom, being a good dad, going out working, doing those things, providing for your family. But there are other things when God stretches us and He says, for much is given, much is acquired. He's given us a lot. So He requires a lot. Being obedient to the Lord is special. God speaks to those who are obedient. He chastised those who are not. I pray today that you will be obedient to the Lord. You don't pick the church you attend. He does. What? You don't pick the church you want to go to. If you're walking with the Lord and you're spiritual, He will pick the church for you. You don't go because it has a live band. You don't go because it has great children's ministries. You go to where the Lord called you to go. And you don't get to pick what you want to do. He picks it for you. Next thing you know, you're like, you start to become obedient. Amen? Father, as we close out of this portion, just this small portion of your word, a little bit different today, but Lord, I thank you for your word. It's a reminder and a challenge. I don't know what you're doing with all of it as for us as a church, per se, or individually, but you do. But you've given us some things to think about and process and discern with your Spirit about things with missions, service, and obedience. Father, be with us in these next few moments. May your Spirit be satisfied with how we move upon your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.